It's River Church's version of the Queen's speech now. So over to you, Dave. Bless us.
Morning, everybody. It's an absolute privilege to be able to share a few thoughts with you this morning. Who has a favourite Christmas film? What's yours, Bella? Arthur Christmas. Good choice. Haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's great. Chris? It's a Wonderful Life. Popular. Jack, what's yours? Arthur Christmas as well. Popular. Dave? Home Alone. Anyone like Home Alone in the room? It's a classic. Any other favourite? Die Hard. Yeah, it's a great Christmas film. Any other favourite Christmas?
Love Actually.
Yeah. Zulu. I've got two favourites. I've got The Holiday. Yes. Beautiful film, watch every year. And Elf. Does anyone like Elf? Elf is like the best Christmas film. It is amazing. How can you shake your head at Elf? Elf is just like the loveliest film. It's like it's Will Ferrell being an elf. And it's just, it's fun, it's lovely, it's a great story, it's a love story, it's about reconciled, broken family relationships. I love a good Christmas film. One thing I don't love is Christmas music. As soon as it comes on the radio, I just switch it off. I hate it. I don't want to hear that. I hate that racist song. Do they know it's Christmas? Nothing ever grows in Africa. It's like, what is that about? Anyway, I don't like Christmas songs, but I do love Christmas movies. One of the things I don't particularly love is I feel like I find a pressure comes on me at Christmas to like have the perfect Christmas. There's a pressure when like trying to get the Christmas shopping done. You want to get all the right things for the meal. You possibly get in like some kind of passive aggressive or even just aggressive tussles with people in Sainsbury's for the last turkey. You've got to get like the right presents for everyone. And then you've got to prep the house. Prepping the house, you want everything to look perfect with the lights and getting everything kind of sparkly and shiny and just get that right kind of Christmas vibe. And then I'm feeling already the pressure to cook the perfect roast potatoes tomorrow. Last year, me and Chloe, we cooked the Christmas dinner, and we're doing it again this year. And last year, we hit it out of the park. We did probably the world's greatest roast potatoes. And this year, I'm feeling the pressure. I'm feeling the pressure to do the perfect roast potato, to deliver again. So that's pressure. And then you've got like just the pressure of actually just wanting to have a good time. Even if you might not be feeling that great and, life's going rubbish, there's that pressure to be a great host and to want to have a great day with family and there's a pressure there. And then there's kind of like a slight madness, which kind of seems to happen in society, Boxing Day, queuing for the sales, like that's kind of a pressurised thing. And it just feels like there's this pressure. This week in the Evening Standard, there was an article about a room you can go into in London. You pay to go in it, and it's basically decked out with all the perfect Christmas like decorations, the tree and everything, and for 2 minutes, you can trash the room. And that's it. And it's just like, what does that say? What is that about? That someone's like kind of obviously tapped into that as a business thing. Maybe it's tapping into this kind of frustration around this beast that Christmas has become. There's a pressure to have the perfect Christmas. The first ever Christmas, however, was far from perfect. It was not this perfect, neat, nice, shiny thing. It was bonkers. It was just like the craziest story. What we have here is we have a story. We've got Mary, controversial teenage pregnancy. We've got rumours going round. She would have felt isolated. She was rejected. You've got, fear of the unknown. What's happening to me? Mary and Joseph, they're trying to find, childbirth is a scary thing. You want to be in a hospital. You want to be with people who know what's going on. And yet, wherever they went, to each house they went, there was no room. No one let them in. I wonder why they didn't let them in. Was it because it was controversy or was it because it was full? There's fear there. There's isolation. She ends up giving birth in a barn, with the animals. It's just like, it's not neat, it's not tidy, it's not shiny in any way. And then we've got the story of the wise men. We've got these kind of really like odd astrologers, essentially, coming from foreign lands who have travelled, I don't know how long, months, years, just following the stars. If they can have, like, rocked up, you know, at church today and said, hi, we've been following the stars, like, from, you know, from France to be here. We think the stars are telling us that we need to be here. I'd be like, oh, right, cool. Cuckoo. These guys are mad. Like, so you've got those guys, you know, coming from who knows where. And then you've got the shepherds. You know, they're like the nobodies. They're the rejects. They're like the uneducated. They were like the outcasts of society. You know, the equivalent today would probably be like the gypsy community, right on the fringes of society. People like to kind of just ignore them, just push them aside, just pretend they're not there. It's the fringes of society. When you look at this story, it's far from the perfect Christmas. It is a nuts story. And if you believe in God, what does it say about God's values? What statement is he trying to make here? He's making the biggest statement that I think, that God has come for the outsiders. He's come for those who have been written off by others. God has come for the foreigners and for those who feel like they are worthless, the unsuccessful, or those who just feel completely ashamed. If you identify with any of these things, this is your festival. This is our festival. The message of Christmas is that God, Emmanuel, means God with us. That's one of the names for Jesus. He's with us in our messy lives. He's with us in the brokenness of humanity. He's with us in our fears and struggles. So let's just take encouragement from that. If we're struggling at this time, if we're just feeling under it at this time, God's with us. So my first point for us to take home is, let's take the pressure off trying to have like the perfect Christmas. Just take the pressure off. Let's have a nice time and know that God is with us. God wants to be with us this Christmas. Let's not have a perfect Christmas. Let's take the pressure off. Pause. Just going to let that sink in. Chips instead of roast potatoes. Nice. Aunt Betsy's. Yorkshire puddings. Okay. In history, there are historic moments. There are ordinary moments and there are historic moments. In our own lives, we have ordinary moments and we also have very key moments. So in my own life, brushing my teeth this morning, very, very ordinary moment. But when I got married, you know, that was a very key moment. And throughout history, there are those kind of moments, ordinary and key times. And, you know, there are moments which happen, which shape history, which shape human history, that shape, you know, the course of humanity. You know, you've got the Berlin Wall coming down. You've got 9/11. You've got the invention of Facebook. You've got Brexit. You know, there are things which just, you know, they're just global human moments. And this birth of the baby is a history-shaping moment. And by all accounts, it should not be in any way, shape or form. It's the equivalent of having a baby born in Bourne End. It's just like, it's random. It's a non-event. It's kind of nowhere. It's just, and yet, here we are, millions upon millions of people celebrating the birth of this kid, birth of this baby. Why is it a historic moment? Well, it's because of who the baby grew up to become. This man, the baby, became a man. Man, obviously, was Jesus. And Jesus revealed God to us like God had never been revealed before. You know, if all of us right now, we kind of close our eyes and we said, right, God, we want to connect with you. All of us would probably have different experiences. Some people would kind of feel nothing or think nothing. Others might have a vision or an inclination. Maybe I'm sensing this or whatever. You know, we all have like, you know, little different kind of experiences. And that's what kind of had been happening in human history, like little different people had been following God and getting little bits of understanding of God. And those things had been written down. And that's like the Old Testament and the people of Israel. And there's this kind of crazy little story that goes on. And Jesus comes and he gives us the ultimate like expression and the like understanding of what God is like. And he reveals the fullness of God, not just little snippets of God, to us. And he comes and he shows humanity. He shows us that God is not distant, but he's near. He shows us that God is not angry, but he's full of compassion and he's full of kindness and gentleness and humility. And I pray that you would know the kindness of God this Christmas. I just pray that you would know the kindness of God. He comes and shows us that God is 100% good. There's not an ounce, not a slither of darkness or bitterness or anger or jealousy or malice in him one bit. He comes and shows us that God is nuts about us. He's absolutely in love with humanity, like a good father, like the perfect father who's just like nuts about his kids. Jesus comes and he shows us that actually, like, he says, you can know God as Father. He loves you and he's nuts about you. Take home this Christmas that God is nuts about you. He loves you so much. Jesus came to show us that God bestows equal worth and value upon every single human being on the face of the planet. And that God is a God of forgiveness. And he forgives 1,000 times and another 1,000 times. He forgives us again and again and again. And he just washes us white as snow. And I don't know about you, but like, you know, there's a brokenness inside of me. There's a selfishness inside of me, and I end up doing things. I hurt myself. I hurt one another. I hurt the world. I cause damage, and we all do that. And he forgives us of those things, and he comes with his grace and with his love. You know, you read the news, and the world, you know, every single day, there's just the expression of that brokenness, that damage. And he comes with his forgiveness and with his grace and his love. And he heals us. And he sets us free from those cycles of selfishness. That's what our God does. That's what Jesus did. He came that we would know peace, guys. We are connected in society more than ever before. We have communications, the internet. We have transport. We can get wherever we want, whenever we want. We have social media. And it's absolutely amazing, but it comes with a price. It comes with the fact that we now have a generation where all of us are distracted, and we're more distracted and more multitasking than ever before. And I kind of think that there are just millions of us who are just kind of living with like low-level anxiety the whole time because of it. And if Jesus comes to give us peace, are our brains even in the right condition to know that peace if it was offered to us? I want to propose, guys, that this Christmas we can know Jesus' peace if we slow down and if we switch off and if we just be present with our loved ones. In the story, there was no room for Jesus. There was no room for God. There was no room for Mary and Joseph in any of the houses. So they had to go out with the animals. Will we make room for him in our houses, in our hearts, or actually will God need to go elsewhere? Will we make room for him in our hearts? I want to make room for him in my heart. And I was wondering if you want to make room for him in your heart this Christmas, then I just want wondering if you want to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are not looking for a perfect lives and perfect shiny Christmases, but that you are in the mess with us. I thank you that you, no matter what I've done, you haven't written me off. I'm sorry for when I've been selfish and hurt myself or others. Please forgive me. Help me to slow down this Christmas and make room for you in my life. I want to know your peace. Amen.